Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere? Sorry about that.
And somebody's phone kept ringing?
Yeah. Over two people having crazy conversations.
Well, we all those people, phone included. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Married at First Sight, season 16, episode 220, episode 21, Nashville. Be sure to like, subscribe, really? Rate, and leave a review. It feels like it.
It damn sure does, man. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting, though? So your old school telephone ring is the same old school telephone ring I have on mine. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever heard your phone ring before.
Well, that's not quite my ringer. That was a Teams call. Work coming in.
What the hell is this ring like that for?
I just have to set it that way.
Oh, okay.
I think you still have me focused on the deal.
I sure do. Yeah, no, don't do that. There you go. There you go. There we go. There we go. We're back. All right, so yeah, just had a little technical difficulties to get things started. So sorry, guys, that we're what, 4 minutes late, 3.5 minutes late. You know, we don't do CP time over here, so
that was my fault. My AirPods weren't connecting to the computer, and so I had to charge them. I own it. When it's my fault, I own it.
You know what was interesting was Kitty was like, "Yada, you taking a pee?" That would have been interesting if I took the microphone with me to the bathroom. It wouldn't have been the phone ringing, you heard.
Yeah, have that echo in the background. Yeah.
Well, look, we're glad you're here. You know, a lot of stuff happening, so glad that we got a chance to actually do this, and you guys are here to join us today to do this episode where we finally get to the final decision, man. Let's pick up there, you know, with, of course, your favorite couple, because you love the woman in this one. And that would be, as you see, I'm stalling here to get to them, Kirsten and Shaquille. Now, remember, Kirsten said she wants to stay married. Mm-hmm. And Shaq was like, not quite sure what he's going to say. Your prediction last week was that he would say what? Do you remember?
I thought that I said that he was going to say, that he was going to say no.
I thought that's what you said.
I thought I said he was going to say no because I made the comment that I don't think he can't do better. That he's not going to be able to do better than her. So I was kind of surprised that he said no, but good for him. I still don't think he'll do better than Kirsten, but he had his reasons. And I was curious to hear what those reasons were going to be. And he brings up about being alone and she hasn't been there. And I'm like, Jesus. Yeah. And I'm assuming maybe there's stuff that happened behind the scenes that the producers didn't show us that got edited out, because I just don't understand what he's feeling and why he feels so alone in that relationship.
Exactly. I didn't understand. And then all the crocodile tears. What was that about? Seriously. Come on, man. What was all of that about? Because he said it was difficult for him to step up and be the man that she wanted him to be. And it's not settled. So he chose divorce. You know, and sits there and cries. She's looking at him like, yeah, you're right. You should have said no.
I think he was crying because he realized, man, they're going to make fun of me in this suit. Everybody's going to be making fun of me in this suit. How am I going to deal with
them clown tears?
Everybody's clowning me about the suit. Yeah, you know, I don't quite understand what he was crying about. Maybe he felt bad and doesn't want Kirsten hurt. The fact that he cries, she's like, well, I'm not going to cry.
Exactly. You know, Ronnie B. 7399 says, I think Kirsten dodged a bullet. He's way too needy. You've said this before. This is your frat brother, but you still have said this about him before, because he does come off as extremely needy.
Yeah. And that's, again, I don't understand what he didn't get from her and why he felt alone. If you just didn't feel like there was chemistry, connection, great, say that.
Yeah,
but don't say that, you know, you weren't there. I felt alone, and where I needed you to be there, you didn't show up. I'm like, to this conference still in Memphis? We still talking about Memphis?
Yeah, still. You said that he said he wouldn't be able to do any better, and I'm going to mess this all up, so please forgive me in advance. But Abogado Sheik says Pastor Cal said he can't do better as well. Yeah, Pastor Cal was like, what the hell just happened? Are you – come here, let me smack you upside the head.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what happens to him when you get to the reunion and if he's dating someone else. And is that better? And is that person showing up more? Because I think he's going to have to answer a lot of questions from what's his name at the reunion. Like, what do you mean by she wasn't there? And I bet he's going to say.
And Kevin Frazier asked all those questions. Yes.
Yeah. He's going to say some of the same stuff again. But I thought Kirsten took the rejection like a champ.
She did. She definitely did. She showed him so much grace and gave him way too many chances, as she said, to step up, right? And she didn't. She could have taken shots at him sitting there, and she didn't. Mm-hmm. Now, when she stepped off to the side, you kind of saw a little bit of her real reaction as she's talking one-on-one with the producers and the camera, and she's just like, yeah. Whatever. You know, you can see she's just fed up with it. And RKN has said, you know, he definitely won't do better than her. His needs are impossible to fill. He wants a mama, not a wife. And that's what it feels like. Why he's crying like that? He needs a shoulder to cry on. Look, he hugged Dr. Pepper. He damn near wet her shoulder up with all his tears.
He was emotional. It was an emotional day.
Sure.
You know, try to cut him some slack there, but yeah, you know, it is what it is. They didn't work out, and the look on Kirsten's face, I think she felt like, you know what? I'm glad he said no.
Yep. She definitely was happy that he said no because, you know, she dodged a bullet. And I think a lot of people are saying that in the the chat as well, too. Now, here's the thing. When Shaq was packing up and talking to his friend Bryson, right, he seemed surprised that Kirsten had already moved out. Which to me was a smart move by her. And, you know, tell me if you saw this and if you had the same reaction. He says, well, you know, I hope there's no hard feelings. And then, of course, the producers cut to her leaving and she throws up the double deuces, but, you know, half a deuce. She throws up the middle finger, double middle finger at the apartment, which really wasn't just at the apartment, it was a shack.
Yeah. I'm like, they teach you that at church, Kirsten?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was more at Shaq than it was
burning
at
the hand.
Apartment itself. Yeah, but, you know, she mad. She mad. She's trying to hide it, you know, underneath. But you could tell she mad, especially by the way she did the double birdie.
Now, here's the thing that was interesting to me. Shaq said that they did the assignments, but something was missing. Was it Preston?
You need to stop that.
I'm just talking about, you know, brotherly support. That's all.
Maybe he just wasn't feeling it. I have no idea why.
Right.
And hopefully he's going to answer some more questions at the reunion, but he just didn't feel it.
Apparently not. And we'll get back to more with them, especially when they all got together. That was pretty interesting. But our next couple, Chris and Nicole, our yes couple, the one couple in this entire season that said yes. They wake up in the bed together after not spending the night before decision day together. They seemed happy, right?
They did. You know, I think Chris is in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. And so was Nicole. I think Nicole seems like she's, or as I like to call her, Counselor Nicole, seems like she's grown and is ready to help other people grow, apparently. But they seem happy. They're good. And a lot of positives, right? They've solved the housing situation. Mm-hmm. You know, that,
yes,
that door's closed. They solved that.
Do you see how happy she was in that? Like, okay, so another commitment. I mean, now this is the thing that you expected him to bring when on decision day. This contract, right? But lease, that's not what the lease agreement. He didn't bring that then, but you know, here it is. A couple of days later, he brings it up, and here it is, the contract. I found a place, and we can move in a couple of weeks. That's great news for her, right? Great news for them.
Yeah, and so she's been staying with him every day. Mm-hmm. At his place, so he gets no rest.
She's supposed to get married.
Which, well, but I thought, I'm like, you're going to stay at his house in that big bed that the dogs also sleep in.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'm a dog lover. but mm-hmm. I don't believe in dogs being in the bed. Mm. But I'm like, why would you want to have all that? That's just gross to me.
Exactly. That's a whole lot. What do you think of her conversation after they had the lease and she signed and she's like, okay, now what about bills? Now, this is a very realistic conversation. If they're going to be moving into the same place, because her staying at his place is not even a question, right? He's paying the bills, whatever. But now they're moving in together. Now, the real conversation of how do the bills get paid? What'd you think? Because her solution was, well, do we get a joint account and we just have a joint account? We put money in and we pay the bills out of that. Or what do you want to do? And I like how she let him make the decision here.
You know, I think that this is a conversation they've already settled, but the mm-hmm. producers are like, okay, we need content.
So yes.
I have an idea. Why don't y'all act like this is the first time you're talking about bills and finances? So that's what I think about that conversation. And, you know, it's a great conversation to have. It makes sense. And I think what Chris said was what he would pay. So like what I thought is, okay, Chris, why don't you just... You take care of the apartment, mm-hmm. and then Nicole, you take care of the other stuff, because I wouldn't want a joint account with her because we already know her money is funny.
Right.
So I don't think I'd want to commingle funds just yet, but.
Well, that's what Indigo Blue 50 is saying. Chris knows she filed bankruptcy. I would not mix my finances with her. And maybe that's why he's just like, okay, you know what? I'll pay it. You can cash at me, Venmo, whatever, you know, Zelle, slip it under the door, whatever.
She said, I'll write you a check. I'm going to be like, I'm not taking a check from you, though.
No.
I'm sorry.
Is it a rubber check?
Yeah, I need cash. I love you, but financially, I don't trust you with the check. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then Chris brings up the whole thing about the surname, right? And mm-hmm. then Nicole reveals that she's already gotten the paperwork. Like, hey, because remember, she made a little deal about the name for a while earlier.
Yeah, but I think I like the fact that she said the way that he's treating her makes her feel, and the fact that he's telling her, hey, this is your choice. I want you to take my last name.
Yes,
but I'm not saying like a previous Married at First Sight, like season 15. Oh, you're taking my last name. You know, if you want to get on these benefits, you're taking my last name. Well, this one, he said it's your choice. And all that made her feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
She wants to do it now. So I think they have a good win-win out of that situation.
Now, before we get off Chris and Nicole, got to talk about this because you brought it up about them, the bigger bed. I think he has a king size bed, which he's going to need for the two of them and the three big ass dogs they have. Nubian Mahogany says that's too many dogs for an apartment. Yep, indeed. And then Nikki B points out he said he only washes his sheets once a month with them nasty ass dogs in the bed. The allergies are just kicking up just thinking about that. Oh, my God. I mean, ridiculous, right? Even you have to agree with that. And Precious Me says their place most deaf smells like dog.
Yes, I mean, it's ridiculous, but I think Nicole will fix it. You know, she got the bidet, so she solved one problem that he had.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure she can figure out a way to solve this problem with the bed and the sheets only getting washed.
Yeah, she can wash them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what she'll probably do. And who knows? We don't know how big that apartment is, so we can't quite say it's too small. Where he's at now, definitely, but... The place they have, maybe it's a 2 or 3 bedrooms. They were talking about trying to find a place where they can have offices, mm-hmm. you know, since they both kind of work from home.
Work from home, right.
Maybe they have a bigger space, but well, I wouldn't want to sleep in that bed.
It, like Dina says, they're all shedders too. And Kitty has a great question that I'm, you know, here's the thing. I say great question just because interesting one for you dog owners who let your dogs sleep in your beds. Why wash them if you're going to let the dogs right back in? Yes, but... It's nasty regardless. It's nasty regardless.
It is. It is.
So, and
that's why to me, dogs don't belong in the bed.
We've got a solution. They need a yard.
Those are inside dogs. If you love the dogs that much, they're not going to put the dogs outside. Those dogs stay inside. They only go out to poop and pee. And right back inside.
And they don't even wipe when they go poop and pee. All right, next thing. But I'm just saying. Next couple, Clinton, Gina, and Hank, because, you know, Hank is definitely in the mix here. And of course, first thing I noticed, Gina, of course, puts her luggage on the bed. Of course she does. Of course.
She's not coming back. So she doesn't care.
Touche.
Yeah, she's, I'm not sleeping here again. Good.
Yeah, like when you're leaving out the hotel, you throw that luggage on the bed. They're supposed to change these sheets anyway. God bless the next person.
Yeah. So when they're trying to pack up and move out, you know, Gina, you know, says that, you know, she's learned a lot and all that. I'm like, I wonder what she really learned from this experience, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm curious, like, to hear more depth of what she really got out of this. But now, you know, they're moving out, but they got to be neighbors. So mm-hmm. Clint still gets to watch Hank. Another win-win situation. Yeah.
And, you know, and well, not only does he get to watch her, because she's like, you know, well, she's got to go away. So, hey, you can watch him right now because I got to go away for a couple days. So Clint gets his buddy. They get to hang out. And, you know, Clint gets the best of both worlds. Then to deal with, oh, you know, Gina hanging around. He gets the best of both worlds. Gets Hank.
Yeah, and Hank gets a break.
Yeah. Yeah, because did you notice that Hank was definitely happier to see Clint than to leave with Gina? It's one of those things that when you saw Hank come in, you see how happy he is to see Clint, and then when he has to leave with Gina, he's like, "Yeah, I guess, Mama, I'll leave with you. It's, I guess it's okay, you know." Now, moving from there, and we get to just Clint, right? As Terrell's having his technical difficulties over there. And don't forget, put your echo cancellation on. You'll be fine, because your AirPods ain't gonna work today. Clint. As we get to the individuals and after they've all moved out and within the next couple of days after decision day, Clint says it's going to be weird as he's talking to his friend, you know, not having Hank licking him in the face every morning. I didn't need that visual. I'll be honest, as a doggist, not a self-proclaimed because I was given that title, but, you know, I embraced the title. And as a doggist, I did not like that visual of that waking up every morning and that dog just licking, regardless of the great relationship they have, licking him in the face every morning. That's just like, you know, but.
Well, I think Clint's an outdoorsy person.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. I don't think that the dog licking him in the face is going to have bothered him whatsoever. For him, that's just moisturizer. That's face cream. He's good.
So hilarious.
It's not going to be an issue for him at all. But again, at least he gets to see Hank still, and they still get to be buddies. So I'm happy for that. Unfortunately, he still probably has to see Gina.
Yeah, unfortunately. But, you know, here's the thing. His experience with Gina over the last 8 weeks, he said it now has him reevaluating, as he's talking to Paige, right? His friend Paige, reevaluating his past relationships and saying, you know, well, with my current knowledge, could those relationships have worked? And he's like, you know what? Maybe. And maybe I'm more equipped with these relationship tools, and I have all this relationship knowledge on how to deal with somebody who likes to dish and not take, that I can actually survive with somebody else who was probably better than Gina ever was.
Yeah, so I get where he's coming from, mm-hmm. but we've talked about this before on the regular show. Like, there's no backseas, right? Once you've kind of dated somebody and you moved on, for him to go through this experience, say, you know what? So-and-so actually really wasn't that bad. Let me reach back out to her. Because then if he does that, even though he's a better person, he's going to realize why he ended it the first time and just hurt this person again. So I never suggest or recommend people.
So you never go back.
I don't recommend going back. I've tried it in the past. It's not worked out for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it could have been years. And then you start hanging with them and you're like, oh, that's why. Now I remember.
As quick, as fast as it is to rebuild that chemistry and things click again, is as fast as you find out, yeah, that's exactly why we didn't make it.
Yeah, and all you do is just hurt the person a second time. Because then they're even more mad because they're like, you know, I moved on with my life.
Right.
I was good. You came back into my world and I was reluctant. And then I let my guard down again mm-hmm. and dumped me again. So that's why I'm like, Clint, look for someone new. Don't go to the people in your past. Just start fresh.
Precious Me says, never spin the block when it comes to people you've dated in the past. Tracy B says, never go backwards. Dina says, no do-overs. Man, Sam I says, yes, move forward always. So y'all are not about going back. No, no. Okay. Now, we've also talked about this, ladies, and maybe you asked about this. High Vibe says, if someone hurt you, never go back. Yeah, okay, I get that. So let's not go back to the relationship. But do you go back just to not let the number go up? Because you and I have talked about this before, as I've heard women talk about this before, right? And they've mentioned the fact that, yeah, to make sure that their body count doesn't grow, they'd go back and just like, all right, but this is all it is. Don't get caught up. This is just this little piece until I find the next person, you know?
But yeah, they go back, but they go back to the dude that they know gets it, that this mm-hmm. is just, I need to tune up. Mm-hmm. I'm in between relationships. This is all this is going to be. It's just something physical. And that's it. You do that with someone that you get that. You don't do that with the guy that was obsessed with you 2 years mm-hmm. ago that you had a restraining order out on when y'all broke up. That's the one you don't go hook back up with right. just for fun. But no, I think everyone is right that you don't go back to a previous one. And I think take this knowledge that Clint's gotten, this wisdom, mm-hmm. apply it to someone new, but don't mm-hmm. revisit past relationships.
Look, Precious Me says, in case of emergency, spin the block to avoid upping the body count. Now, JG is the exception to the rule, obviously, because even though Keedy says, who's really keeping count? JG says, my husband and I circled back, going on 7 years next Friday. So congratulations.
That's the exception, not the rule.
Not the rule.
Yeah, that's the exception, not the rule. Congratulations. But that's the problem, is someone in this chat's going to be like, well, so-and-so did it, so maybe there's a chance for me, and they're going to get hurt again.
Sammy says, body count does not matter. Well, it depends on who you're talking to. That's why guys stop, after a certain age, guys stop asking.
I don't care about the body count. I don't care about all that. You know,
right. If
you go to a bar and you order a good old fashioned and you taste it like, this is so good. How long have you been bartending? How many of these have you really made? It doesn't matter.
How many people drank out of this glass before me?
If you're with a person and they pour you something that's good, just take it all in and shut the hell up. You don't have to ask.
Enjoy it. Yeah, look, you mess around and ask too many questions, you get your feelings hurt. Because look, there's some people who are like me, which is like, be careful what you ask, you might get the answer.
yeah, you are good. Quick question, is my sound okay if I leave it off mute? Like when you talk, can you hear it through the mic?
No, it's not. Your echo cancellation's on. I mean, it gives you that old school start of pandemic sound, but as you got to do it with what you're working with your AirPods, pulling a Gina and just bouncing.
Pulling a curse and just not working. Let's just say that.
So McKinley, all of a sudden he pops back up and he's going house shopping with his friend Taylor using his new realtor, Kirsten. And we finally see her again. Now, Max said that, you know, Dominic thought he didn't want to plant roots. He actually did want to plant roots in Nashville. And he said, here's the thing, though, and this is why I believe him in this part. He said this early on in the season, you know, about 199 episodes ago. He said this when he said that he wanted to go. The reason he's living with his friend's parents is because he wanted to go house shopping, but with his wife. Mm-hmm. Right. I don't see what's wrong. In that space, if you're looking to build a future, there's nothing wrong in that, because at the end of the day, he could buy the house. She's still going to decorate it, because no matter what he has in there, she's going to be like, yeah, this shit needs to go.
Right. Yeah. You know, I'm more team buy your own house. Mm-hmm. And then if you meet someone, you have your house can be a rental property and y'all buy something else together, or you sell it and you do something else. But don't say, I'm going to stay living in the basement at this age of a friend until I meet the one, and then we're going to go buy a house together. Because to me, why are you okay with staying in the basement? Like, I just couldn't, I wouldn't be okay with it. Even if I hit hard times, mm-hmm. and I'm like, Yana, I need to stay with you for a bit. my goal is to get out of there as quick as possible. And before I get into relationships, I'm going to get out of that situation first.
Right.
Before I can date anybody.
Look, I'm seeing this a couple times here because Karen says that Kirsten is a lazy realtor and Dina says the same thing. She didn't even show up to show the house.
Yeah.
It's open.
It's open. Y'all look around. No.
I was like, who does this?
I was like, wait a minute. All this is fake because I was a licensed realtor. You just can't open the door and let people just go into someone's house mm-hmm. without the buying agent with them. You just can't just openly just willingly.
That's what Indigo Blue is saying. No realtor leaves the door open. Exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking that she was going to give them the code for the lockbox
right.
or something. But even still, if I'm selling my home, I just don't want random people just showing up in my house without the buying agent or the selling agent with them.
Mm-hmm. Question we all asking, how's the door just open? I mean, yeah, because every open house I've seen has had somebody in it or a lockbox. I've even had a realtor have to go like, all right, hold on, let me call and figure out how to get in here because this code they gave me is not working.
Yeah. I'm just like, that doesn't really happen. But I will say, I thought the house was nice from what they mm-hmm. showed.
Right.
I like the kitchen with that big space there and then that backyard. And it's probably a bit much for one person, but if you're thinking about getting married, building a family, that's a perfect house. You can get it.
Yeah. So a couple of things here. Kitty says it. The cameraman was in there. Blue Giraffe says the door was open because there was a camera crew already waiting inside. And Michelle just calls it what it is. Fake scene. Fake news. That's fake news. That's fake news. Y'all off the same.
So, Keedy, you didn't like the stairway right in the front? And wasn't that kind of like a winding stairs?
You know, when I see those winding stairs, I always wonder, like, okay, so how you get that stuff up the stairs, man? That's I can only see them dropping the movers. That's when you never move shit yourself. Because at least...
Yes, you get movers to do it. That's how you get that stuff up those stairs.
Hey, Joslo is like, I'm Team Mac on this. Save as much as you can. Your life may change after this show, so why not wait? Exactly. I'm right there too.
I mean, I think he could totally do that. I'm just saying in general, I recommend buy your own house first.
Right.
Don't like choose to not buy a house because you want to find your soulmate and get married and do it together. Because who knows how long that could take?
Well, okay. In this case, you knew how long it was going to take. You got chosen for the show. You knew it was going to happen. And in 2 months, y'all going to have to move out. So you might as well go looking. It made sense in this case. Now, in general, in the real world, IRL, in real life, yes, no. You go buy your damn house, okay? Pick your house. If they don't like it, rent that son of a bitch out.
Something. You know,
exactly.
I think something would have been better, but... he probably won't pick that house because it's probably too much for just one person, but I'm glad that he's actually trying to find some roots, and maybe gear up for another future date.
Now, Gina was out there as well too. And, she says the experience shows that she's ready for marriage. She said this last episode too. It didn't make sense then. And it doesn't make sense this episode either. I'm like, how
Sway? Exact same note I had. How are you ready for marriage after after how she treated Clint the whole time? Like, what did you get out of this? Is it that, okay, no gingers. Now I'm ready for marriage.
Exactly. Only ginger in my life is Hank. That's it. Now, she said that it was annoying that Clint was, because he was a class clown, always making these crass jokes. She knows that's not what she wants and that she's ready to date with all that she's learned from the experience. Yeah. We'll see, because we don't believe her, right? But we get to Jasmine and her aunt Pat, or as Eris called her on the after party, TT Patricia. Yo, she drops nothing but unfiltered truth bombs, man. Because Jasmine says Eris doesn't want to be married, or he would have. No, that's what Aunt Pat says, that he didn't want to be married, or he would have stayed married to Jasmine. That's what Aunt Patricia was saying. Like, look, no, and she's like, no, well, he just doesn't want to be married. No. If you want to be married, he'd be married to you because there's no better. But that's what Aunt Pat says. Of course, she's going to say that, right?
Yeah, I just loved, she had me roll him. He seemed happy in this picture. Too bad it was a lie.
Yo, that is an old black family member always.
This is the wine that I bought y'all. I'm going to take this back.
I thought she was going to break it over and say, hey, well, let's drink it. No, she's like, I'm going to take it back.
Taking it back when I brought y'all.
My favorite line from Aunt Pat was, girl, you got divorced faster than I did. At least I gave it a year.
And then, you know, Jasmine says that Eris, still wants to come see the dog. Mm-hmm. And Pat's like, why? And she's like, he really doesn't want to see the dog. And I'm like, of course. He yeah. doesn't really want to go see that dog. He just said that.
Yeah.
Just made it cool while y'all were trying to pack together.
Yeah.
He's like, this is awkward.
So she thought the same thing that we thought. So, and, you know, and I think the entire season we've been watching this, we've thought Jasmine was a little naive, and she really wasn't. She was playing her role. And this is my role. This is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to make it through this season. And that's what she did. She made it through this. Now, I will say this. I know we usually don't talk about the after party, but, you know, as we were waiting to get on here, I ended up catching a piece of it, especially since Jemele Hill was guest hosting in place of Keisha Knight Pulliam, who was on maternity leave, right? And one of the things she asked about Eris and this attraction, she asked Eris about the attraction. And he said, we've had conversations off camera. He said one night she woke me up and said, why do we not have sex? Why don't we not have the sexual chemistry? And he said, I didn't want to say it, but I told her. And Jemele Hill, being the journalist she is, well, what did you say? And he said, hey, you know what? Forgive me. I know y'all may like Keisha Knight Pulliam, and I do too. But Jemele Hill, I want her on the next season. Because I'd watch the after party like, we got to postpone our recap for another half hour because she's not afraid to ask the questions because that's her. She's a journalist, right? And she's like, well, what did you say? And he's like, okay, look, I can't do that to her. It was a private conversation. I'm not going to say anything.
And so we know it's something. We've been saying that there's something, there's a reason he's not attracted to her. And we just don't know what it is yet. And we'll never will know because he's not going to say it now. He's not going to say it in the after party. He's not going to say it at the reunion.
Yeah.
Because I think, and I respect him for not doing that because that just makes him look even worse than what he already did on this show. But we all think that there's something. It could be something around hygiene. Who knows? There's something because she's physically attractive. So it's not like, so there has to be something that was just turning him off.
Now, there's certain, not only a part of it that I watched. I didn't watch all of it. So Naomi says you guys may have been right about Jazz's breath because Eris said in the after party there was something personal about her that turned him off, right? And Nikki says he told Eris said he told Jasmine on the honeymoon why he wasn't attracted. She kept asking to get him to say it to the group to get folks to attack him. So basically what you're saying is while she was, Nikki, correct me if I'm wrong here, but what you're saying is even though she tried to play the nice girl role, she was really trying to get everybody in that to attack him and make him the bad guy in this one, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if she was trying to get him to say it publicly to get everybody to turn on him, you know? I doubt that. But I'm glad that he didn't say anything, and kudos to him. Because he would be even a worse turd if he were like, well, let me tell you, Jemele.
Yeah, exactly. This,
and I told her this, and I even told her the day I met her this.
And she ain't changed shit.
No. These two things she can't do nothing about. That's genetics, right? But this, they're
genetics. Hey, Michelle says, I respect him for not putting their business out there like that. Yeah, you got, look. I know Eris has been the villain of this season, one of the villains of this season. But okay, Sean. you're right. There are things you can fix. If that's what it is, then it's got to be, there are things you can do to fix that, right? You know, spend a little more time. And some people need that because they just don't understand. But hey, you know, we'll never know unless we get to the reunion.
Yeah. Truth comes out.
Oh shit, Black Tornado, I'm not messing with you, man. I'm just gonna put this up there. Let's show while we move on to the next you off the chain.
Wow,
that's jacked up. That is jacked up. If you're listening to this, you got to come watch the YouTube because 34 minute mark. All right, so Eris, he was talking to his roommate Cheese. You know, why am I not surprised that Eris had a roommate?
And I didn't know he had a roommate.
I didn't know he had one either, but I'm not. Were you surprised?
I was. I thought he had that house by himself.
Now you knew that wasn't his house. Come on. We all said that wasn't his house. We all knew that wasn't his house.
Who knows?
But then he had, so Cheese had his girlfriend there as well, Raven. And, you know, of course, Eris is like, well, you'll hook me with some of your friends. And Raven tells Eris, look, let me tell you something. You can't expect a 10 out of 10. If you get an 8 out of 10, you've got to count your blessings and hold on to that one tight because you're never going to get a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm hoping that he learned some type of lesson of this, but you can tell he's ready to get back in the streets. Mm-hmm. They've been calling his name. And he's like, who do you know? Who can you introduce me to?
Yeah.
You meet today. You know, he's ready to get back out there. But yeah, you know
he's
what?
Ready to go.
One thing I forgot to mention. So when Eris and Jasmine were packing to move out of the apartment, mm-hmm. I thought like they put dishes in there for everybody. I didn't realize they had to bring their own dishes.
Yeah.
I saw them packing up glasses or they're stealing. One or the other. But I didn't realize they had to bring their own dishes.
No, I don't think they brought all dishes. But, you know, if you have a certain mug, you're going to bring your favorite mug. If you're a coffee mug, you know, it's that.
They were taking glasses, Tupperware.
So. You're going to bring your Tupperware. You're not going to just put your stuff in somebody else's Tupperware now.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
That's you. That's, you're that particular. I forgot who I'm talking to. but yeah. God forbid you use someone else's Tupperware. But yeah, Eris is ready to get back into the streets. And so I'm curious to see where he lands come reunion time.
Yeah.
To hear about his dating life.
Well, you know, we're going to see it over these next 2 weeks. Well, next week at least, before we get to the reunion anyway. What do you think of Shaq and his Muay Thai training?
You know, I think if you're going to do a workout deal for the cameras, do a workout you're already familiar with. Don't do something that's new to you because his punches, his jabs, hooks, and elbows, I'm like, you're not going to scare anybody.
When are people going to learn? When you go on these reality TV shows, do not do a workout of you doing boxing, kickboxing, Muay Thai, unless it's something you do semi-professionally, okay? You're going to look like a wounded duck every time. Stop it. Stop it. It looks bad. And fellas especially, when you're up there punching like a three-year-old girl, it looks really bad.
Yeah, it does. But got through that. But
wait. Before you move on, I got to ask this question. Because Kitty asked this question. Why was his chest hair only on one side?
Yeah, I noticed that. And it was like, it looked like a dark.
I didn't even see that.
I thought it was a tattoo. Maybe.
I was definitely not looking that close. So I didn't see it.
It's like, remember the Titans. Strong side.
It's clean side. Strong side. Strong side. Shape side, hairy side.
Yeah, I thought it was a tattoo or something that he had on there. But so when they're talking to him after that, the big thing he's going to miss the most is waking up and going to bed with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Out of this whole 8 weeks, that's what you're going to miss the most is waking up to somebody and going to bed to somebody. Again, get a roommate or a dog. Yeah. Do yep. that every day.
Exactly. Here's the thing about it, though. Because Christian, he's talking to Christian and Tasha, right? Who, they're a married couple as well. Christian asked Shaq if he has any regrets. He says he doesn't, but he does want them to become friends, right? And then even suggests that maybe they get back together because they build on that friendship.
Okay, but before he said that, when he got asked that question by Christian, he's like, hey, you know, I don't want to, you know, think about I made the wrong mistake. I was like, did you just say the wrong mistake? I thought that's where you're about to go. I don't understand. Hey, I don't want to think I made the wrong mistake. I'm like, what's the right mistake?
Not pulling out in time.
Yeah, I'm like, what's the right mistake? I'm just curious what a right mistake is compared to a wrong mistake. But he did say that he's open to staying friends, and they were trying to see, is it possible to rekindle, or maybe if they start out as friends, eventually it can get into something else. I don't think Kirsten's going to want to have any part of that. And then apparently Kirsten told him that she doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, well, she hasn't talked to him since decision day. Right. I think when they get to the group get together, which we're going to get to next, is when the first time they've really seen each other since decision day. Because remember when she was speaking with her friend Chanel, she said, he hasn't called me. And since he's the one that said no on decision day, there's no reason for me to call him. He's the one that needs to call me. And I understood what she's saying because she doesn't want to seem like she's the one chasing him, because she said yes. And if she calls him, it's going to feel like, oh, she's chasing me. Oh, she still wants me. No, you said no. If you really care about how I'm feeling, then you can check on me or just keep stepping, right? Mm-hmm. And so I understood why she never reached out to him. And as the man that she wants him to be, that he never could be, he could have reached out and said, hey, you know, I see you already moved out. Something. I was hoping to see you at the apartment. No, really.
What else could he say? I mean, I don't see there's a point of him reaching out to Kirsten for anything. Because what can he really say to make this whole thing be cool?
Not to be cool, but he could have even, like Stacey O said, Kirsten was right. He should have checked on her. Hey, just want to check on you, see how you're doing.
Doing. You said no.
Yeah, but I was the one crying. I was the one crying like a baby.
How the hell do you think I'm doing? Yeah, I mean, like, why would you even do that? I think once you've had the breakup and he did it face to face, it wasn't via text message, right? Did it face to face. Here's why I don't want to stay with you, even though it's weird. There's no reason for him to contact her again.
Right. Yeah. Now, here's the crazy thing about this, too, because High Vibe says Shaq is looking worse than Eris because they had sex, allegedly. And I'm glad you added that word at the end, because I'm starting to believe they really didn't. Or as you would say, in defense of your frat brother, maybe it was just that bad and it turned him all the way off.
Maybe it was just one time and then everything else happened where he just wasn't feeling it or they weren't feeling each other. So I don't know. I think it would be bold to say that they had sex and they never did, because she's the one that has the, she's a PK, right?
Is she? No, I don't think her dad was a preacher's kid.
Is it Jasmine?
Was Jasmine a preacher's
kid? I really think it was Kirsten. That's because remember we kept saying, like, wait a minute, you're talking about you want 8 inches, but she's a preacher's kid.
You might be right. You might be right. I can't. I really can't remember. They'll let us know in the chat as we get to the group get together. Of course, Nicole takes the lead and wants to vet Max dates, and he politely declines. You know, I don't think I will. And oh, by the way, Stacey O says yes. Jasmine is a PK. That's what I thought. Thought it was Jasmine. Okay. Yeah. But my bad. So with Nicole wanting to vet Max dates.
I wouldn't have Nicole bet anybody for me. Counselor Nicole, you focus on Chris.
Yeah.
I don't need you to check in on me or send me some inspiring quotes or whatever the case may be. I don't need any of that.
Before we move on, just want to Joslo, who I believe is in Canada, PK, preacher's kid. Yeah, that's what PK stands for. And Dominique saying that she got a dog. And Mac says he feels sorry for the dog because obviously he's just locked up in a cage all the time.
Yeah, Mac, just bitter. You can just hear it in his voice. And, you know, seeing Dom again, she's still beautiful, but also still annoying when she speaks. Mm. You know, I just, when I hear her talk, it's just, ugh, it's painful. But I really wonder what she's learned, if anything.
Nothing.
From all this. If she, like, rewatched it and just, like, did she reflect on anything that she did and said, you know what, I got to be better at this. Or just learn something.
Well, You know, we say that, but a lot of people are saying Mac is a hater, and bitter Mac can, you know.
Yeah, Mac, I mean, he got Mac rejected mad. You get rejected on national TV. I mean, all of us have been ghosted, rejected, mm-hmm. but not in front of millions of people. So, true. I'd be a little bit more bitter about that, too. And the fact that Mac was even trying, you know. Mac was even trying. He wanted the relationship. Mm-hmm. She was the one that just called it quits. And then apparently she couldn't stay long for the dinner. It's like, all right, guys, I'm out.
According to Dina, Dom was out like Terrell shirt. We out. Yo, she left fast, man. She was out.
Yeah. Like she had somewhere to be. I was like, where are you going? Clint's right there.
Yeah. she just wanted to get her eat on and did, she was gone, right? Well, Clint, though, when they got to ask you, how'd everybody doing? What was everybody's decision? Clint made that joke about, you know, well, we're renewing our vows tomorrow. You saw Gina's face when he said that?
Yeah.
Like, this is why we couldn't stay married. These damn jokes.
This is that bizarre sense of humor that everybody loves that I can't stand.
You know, yeah. I'm like, and everybody Clint, knew he was joking.
Annoy her every chance you get with your sense of humor.
Yes, every
you
chance.
Stay gold, Pony Boy. You stay gold.
Now, when they get to Shaq and Kirsten, right? It's funny because you know, Eris is like Shaq, Eris. Yo, that was funny. But then Shaq tells Kirsten he didn't want her to hate him, but mm-hmm. his decision came from the heart. He didn't know what he was going to say until it came out of his mouth. Shut up.
That's what he shouldn't have said right there. If you're going to break up with somebody, you can't say, look, I don't want you to be mad at me. Because you don't care. If you're breaking up, break up. But the eye daggers that Kirsten was giving him, you know, you could tell she is bothered. She's trying to hold it, but she's bothered under the collar there.
Well, because a couple of things. One, he said no, even though she gave him all these chances. And then two, if she actually gave it up, yes, she's bothered. And three, you could tell this because the minute she walked in, he came hugging everybody. She gave him her shoulder back to hug. She was like, no.
No, she's having it whatsoever.
She said she was willing to give the marriage a chance because 8 weeks wasn't enough to get to know somebody and know if you really want to stay married. So that's why she said yes on decision day. Right now, the interesting thing was when Jasmine asked if the door is closed. And I loved her response because she's like, yeah, the door is closed. And you either take your chance or you miss out. You missed out. There is no chance. 100% with her.
I'm 100% with her that the door should be closed, but her comment about, I want to stay married because 8 weeks is enough, which I agree. 8 weeks is probably not enough.
Right.
But if all the challenges that they're having and the struggles they had, you don't go beyond 8 weeks. Let's just call it. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not Chris and Nicole where everything just worked out. So I wouldn't even do it. And you won't go to his conferences and listen to him speak. So if you're not willing to do that in 8 weeks, you're not going to do it if you stay married. So it's better to leave it. But then Shaq's crazy. So, you know, maybe she'll find that person and it may be him one day. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, here's the thing. She even says in that moment, like, I have no plans to call or text. I don't. There's not much to say. And she's absolutely right. And I love the fact that she said all that ahead of time. So we knew this. But she said it to him, like, basically, as she's looking at him and he's giving these wanton eyes like, well, maybe there's still a chance. Are you saying there's a chance? And she's like, no, you should have called. And you still wouldn't have had a chance, but you should have called anyway and checked on me.
Yeah.
And she's right.
She's feeling like that tells me that he would have to really work hard to get her to even consider it. Mm-hmm. Just for him to realize, oh, yeah, that's right. You don't come to my conferences. This is why I wanted the divorce in the first place and break up with her again. So, and I swear by it. Everyone said it. Pastor Kyle said it. Show me who you're going to do better. Who you're going to get this better. I just don't think he has that.
He'll get somebody who'll show up at the conferences, but Yeah, I don't think he's going to be proud to walk around with them all the time like he would have been with Kirsten.
Man, I can't even, I'm not even going to acknowledge the comment because he messaged it to me on IG. But come on, frat, some stuff you just keep to yourself. Don't put that out there. Don't put that out there. Keep that to yourself.
I know exactly who you're talking about without asking.
Yeah, inside voice. Inside voice, frat. Inside voice. Put that in. You don't need to publicize that.
Hey, before we get out of here, Nicole does what Nicole does and steps up as the pseudo expert, and she goes Nicole and asks Mac and Gina, well, are you guys willing to go on a date with each other in front of Clint? Eris is like, yo, we all kind of heard these things, but please continue.
Yeah. I thought that was, I mean, all right, let's look at it both sides. Is it a little jacked up? Kind of too soon? Sure. But they said no. Mm-hmm. There was no romantic connection. They never slept together. Nothing happened. So is it really that big of a deal that they mm-hmm. did that? But again, I probably wouldn't have said that in front of Clint.
Yeah, because like Tracy B says, Nicole disrespected Clint and somebody should have checked her since her wimp for husband didn't. It was pretty disrespectful to that because even Clint was like, wait, what's going on here? Because he's in the blind. Because remember, him and Mac hanging out in the gym, not working out, but, you know, at the Mayweather gym for a quick second, they're hanging out, and Mac is asking him questions about Gina all the while, sliding in her DMs,
yeah.
Which Eris knows at the same time. So it's all messy, right? And Nicole, being her messy self, just threw it all out there for everybody. I'm like, ew. And Clint's just caught like, well, what's going on here? That's the part where you lose that friendship, because now you've embarrassed me because all this stuff that's happening here and I don't know about it, and then you throw it out there in front of me? Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah. So I'm sure once Clint watches all of it, he's going to be, oh, really? Mm-hmm. This is why he wanted to hang out with me that time. He just didn't care about me. He was trying to get some intel
yeah.
to how to get close to Gina. And, you know, apparently they're going to go on a date. I mean, what's your take? Do you think they could actually work out?
No. No, I really don't think they work out. I think just even watching them on that date, it looks awkward because it's so forced, right? And it's those things like, it's like for, I don't know, it just doesn't seem natural. Like, she'll entertain it for now, but that's not what she's looking for. Mac is not her kind of guy, regardless of what she says. That's not her guy.
Yeah, well, but do you think Clint saying, okay, two can play this game? Mm-hmm. Hey, Dom, how are you?
Yeah, well, it's about to happen. We saw the previews for next week, and it definitely kind of looks that way. it looks like we're going to see some of that because they've been meeting up with the in the dog park, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and matter of fact, Nick even mentioned about that Christian upcoming preview. As we speak of the preview, when Jasmine asked her date if he was attracted to her, yes, I cringe every time I've seen that preview, and it's like ah. Because, one, it feels like a scripted line. And two, if it's not, that makes it 100 times worse. Because it shows that she's still not over the whole thing with Eris. And that is,
I'm leaning on the side that it's a scripted line.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't say you're all this confident about yourself and then do this. And so I think it's scripted. If it wasn't, oh, yeah, I feel really bad for her.
Back on Kirsten real quick. Melanie says, please remember that Kirsten sacrificed a part of her honeymoon to accompany Shaq to a conference, and she had to stay in the hotel room. That's the part he never gave her credit for. She didn't want to go to Mississippi. She wanted to go to Jamaica. And you know what? She's like, she didn't say, well, you know what? I'll see you when you get there, which she could have easily done. I don't know you, fool. I'll see you when mm-hmm. you get there. So him keep bringing up Memphis over and over again is ridiculous when she really did that. So,
but I would challenge that, Melanie, because Shaq didn't say you're going to come with me to Mississippi and you better keep your ass in this hotel room. Like, she chose to do that.
No, she couldn't go.
Some other stuff. She could have went. And, you know, she could have did things if she wanted to. She wasn't like trapped in the hotel room.
Trapped in the closet.
Yeah, she could have done something. Daddy say I can't leave.
Look, it's Mississippi. She was like, I'm going to stay here where I'm safe. you know, kind of going back to this whole spin back the block, Chocolate Sooner says, that's why Kirsten wanted a clean break. Shaq thought he could circle back. And this whole time, he's like, well, maybe, because she said yes. And here's why. This is the exact reason why she did not call him first. And I'm glad she didn't. And even said, no, I have no intention of calling him, texting him, anything. Because he feels there's a chance because she said yes. Oh, so I got the upper hand now. And if she calls, he'd feel that even more. Nah, she did the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, she did. There's no point for Shaq to even try or consider it. Because I think that she's done. Now, we wind up finding out later they rekindle, and at the reunion, I'm going to be like, well, it is what it is.
Well, it could happen. I mean,
Hi-Vi wants to know, what's the C in Mississippi? Racism.
Exactly. You know, so a lot of comments on this. Let's do this before we get out of here on the circling back, right? And one of the things that popped up, Bob Caddy says, we circle back, been married 28 years now. So not just one, there's another one.
That exception, not the rule. There's millions of people, so there's going to be quite a few exceptions.
Yeah, true. JD says, just like food, ex-partners have an expiration date. and Dina, when I made the whole thing about, well, you made the thing about the drink. If somebody makes you a drink, the bartender makes you a drink. And I said the thing about the glass. Dina says, is the glass clean? Is what matters. It doesn't matter who else drank out of that glass. Let's see what Ronnie say. Ronnie said, go back to the maintenance man, not someone I was in a relationship with. So not to go with the body count. Yeah. And Melissa, who's done it before, said, she spun the block 3 times and still couldn't deal with his issues and broke his heart a third time.
Wow. So see, it happens where you go back, you hurt the person again. I've had someone ghost me 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we start dating, everything is going well. I think it's good. And then she would bounce and no explanation or whatever. And after I text you one time, you don't reply. I'm like, I got the hint. Now move on. Well, I'm not going to keep texting you, messaging you. Like, why won't you talk to me? I'm not a stalker. And then she came back
Shanice.
Around
gotcha.
A couple years later. And I was just like, oh, well, you know, maybe things change. And then when I moved to Austin, same thing. Ghost to me. I was just like, you know, shame on me.
Yeah, you got fooled 3 times. Come on.
I got fooled 3 times. It's worth it. Like, it's worth it. But
You didn't want to raise your body count? Speaking of body count, this is a perfect way to go out on, because Nikki says, I don't even answer how many. Less than your mama is what I think.
God, man.
Oh, we love you guys, man.
Yeah. Look, be sure to like, and we are about 50 subscribers away from hitting 4,000. So tell a friend to tell a friend to like one of your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, like I said, hit that like button. And if you're watching this on a replay, please leave a comment as well, too. Okay. And now Sunday, we're going to be back for Summer House, Martha's Vineyard. So this will be episode 4. If you haven't caught up yet, because I know a couple people haven't caught up yet, go ahead and catch up. You've got time. You've got this weekend to catch up. Sunday, episode 4. It's getting good. And then, of course, back Monday for 90 Day Fiancé Love in Paradise. Regular episodes on Tuesday. And then back here next Wednesday for episode 222 of season 16 of Married at First Sight.
This show has turned into the never-ending story.
Yes. The never-ending
story.
You know, y'all were singing along with that too. Oh my God. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
And make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.